Welcome to the Excel Pod.
Welcome to Scripture Spotlight, where the text is the star of the show. I'm Garrett.
And I'm Corey.
And we are in 1 Peter chapter 4, talking about this idea of living with the end in view. Today we're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 through 9, continuing with this idea that we're going to be, since we're the end is about to be here, we're going to keep pressing on and keep in our relationship with the Lord in that way. In verses 8 through 9, it says this: "Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling."
Okay, so this is of overall importance, he says, above all. Be overflowing in, and this is agape, it's your self-sacrificing love for one another. And that all connects back to chapter 1 and verse 22, where he says, "Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart." So again, this is not something new that he's talking about, but because of the times of suffering you're going through, because the end is near, you want to make sure your relationship with God is right, but you also want to make sure your relationship with each other is right, because if our relationship with each other is not right, our relationship with God is not right.
Yeah, and he tells us to keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. I don't know that he's saying, you know, if we love more than we sin, then it'll cancel each other out, you know, or something like that. I think the idea, if you look at kind of the theme here of what he's been talking about, is that if we're focused on loving one another, then we're going to be less tempted to go back into that sinful lifestyle. If all my focus is on my old friends and what I was doing and this maligning and the peer pressure that's taking place, then I'm a lot more likely to go back into that lifestyle. But if my focus is instead on, you know, being self-controlled, sober-minded, and being with the group of Christians that's trying to encourage me and love on me, then, you know, maybe that helps that temptation.
Well, not only my focus, but the focus of others, how that would influence on me. We talked about peer pressure from a negative sense. Peer pressure can also be a positive thing. If I'm hearing these voices of these ones that are trying to blind me and pull me back into a sinful lifestyle, and that's all I'm hearing, I'm most likely going to follow along. Yeah. I'm going to flock with them once again. But if I'm hearing from God's flock about how much that they love me and they're showing me that love, they're suffering for one another, chapter 3 and verse 8, then that's going to cover a multitude of sins, because it's going to cause me to want to flock with God's people rather than others, because I'm getting the good peer pressure. Yeah. Of we would call it maybe encouragement or example, but it's the same idea, is that I want to I realize that I have a place, that I'm loved, that I have a family, that people care about me, not just in the world, but even more so in this relationship with God.
Yeah, we don't think about peer pressure being a positive thing. It's always used in a negative light, I think. But, you know, what would the church and our community look like if we peer pressured one another towards the Lord, in the same way that we do towards so many other things? You know, what would that look like? Maybe there's a challenge there. Start peer pressuring each other toward God, and kind of His statutes. He says, keep loving one another earnestly. The second thing here is to show hospitality to one another without grumbling.
Yeah, we think about hospitality and inviting friends or family over or whatever to the house. Literally, the word means stranger love. Mm-hmm. And so it's not necessarily like we think of hospitality as just the people that we know and love already. This is this is not stranger danger, but stranger love, you know, keeping a door to one another. They lived in a dangerous world, which is emphatically, you know, shown in the fact that we're having a whole letter here written about their suffering. But, you know.
And just got done saying the end is near.
Yeah. And, you know, all of the lifestyle things that was part of our old life. Well, mm-hmm. you know, we think about it. If I'm traveling, I can stay at a Holiday Inn or, you know, whatever hotel that I might want to. They couldn't necessarily stay in inns because most of the inns in their day were immoral and dangerous. It's more like if you watch Westerns, kind of like, you know, there's the saloon downstairs and there's the hotel mm-hmm. upstairs and there's all sorts of sinful things. Worldly friends wouldn't let you stay with them, you know. So if I'm traveling, I need Christians, I need brothers and sisters of Christ who don't know me, yeah. but we have a connection through the blood of Jesus that are willing to let me stay with them.
Yeah, a love for strangers is one that I think goes far beyond our typical definition of hospitality. But it's one that is valid and needed here. And, you know, you just pointed out that that's not something that everyone has. It's not something that a lot of people had, that strangers and those outside of Christ would have had. So there's also an element to it that says, you know, well, maybe if we have that kind of example and are showing that kind of thing, that makes a difference in someone's life that says, why do they act like that? Why are they kind to me whenever they don't know me from Adam kind of
thing?
Why
do they have family wherever they go?
Yeah. Why have they friends everywhere that, by the way, would help with that encouragement and peer pressuring one another for good is that I know that no matter where I go, I've got people around me. One of the cool things whenever we traveled a lot is we would go to states that we've never been to before, and we would go to places that we've never been to before, and we would walk into a church, and there'd be friendly people that we already knew. There's a certain things that we agree on that we can love each other with and that we can encourage one another with, and that's a special thing, mm-hmm. And it obviously would have been especially for them, too, as well.
And then that last part, all of this is good until we get to that last part of verse 9. Without grumbling or without complaining. I wish he wouldn't have added that, because the first part wouldn't have been so hard if he hadn't added the last part, because showing hospitality to one another and loving one another earnestly requires expense and time and inconvenience.
And effort.
But we need to be willing to open our doors so that others might benefit. And when we have the concept that the things that we have don't belong to us, but to God, that's when we will be hospitable to each other without complaint or grumbling.
Yeah, there's a whole lot that has to do with our mindset of possession in that, you know, it's not mine, it's the Lord's. And whatever I have, be it, you know, money or possessions or even our time and our effort and our energy, if we see that as the Lord's, then it's a lot easier to be less selfish with it and more, you know, how can I serve the Lord with it? Yeah. That's a mindset kind of shift there.
And even in our ministry of what we're doing with this podcast, you know, we're able to do that because people have had that kind of attitude. And it's not necessarily hospitality, but that mindset of, you know, they're supporting you know, the Excel podcast, they're supporting buying a microphone, you know, yeah. for hours or whatever, because they have that attitude. And so, again, when you think about the end being near, what difference does it matter if I got $1 million in the bank or whatever? If the mm-hmm. end is near, I'm not taking it with me. So it's much better to be willing to share it with others than it is to try to hold on to it ourselves.
Yeah. Use it. Let it serve its purpose rather than just, you know, rotting away and storing for the sake of having it stored, you know. We hope that this has been an encouragement to you, something that you can use here in verses 9 and 10, or sorry, verses 8 and 9, that will inspire you to dive into God's Word in your own time more. We appreciate you taking 5 to 10 minutes with us every day as we dive deeper into God's Word and as we all pursue a deeper relationship with Him every day. We'll see you next time on Scripture Spotlight, where the text is the star of the show.